Living for today with an eye for tomorrow. This is the Voice of Vision broadcast.
I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior.
Now, here's our teacher, Pastor J.D. Hatfield.
Well, hello there, friends. Once again, this is Pastor J.D. Hatfield of the Riverside Christian Fellowship in Hernando, Florida. As always, you can find us on the web at voiceofvision.org. And if you're on that site today, you'll see today's, when we first broadcast it, of course. Sometimes we do repeat broadcasts or another station broadcasts at a different time. But the first day that we broadcast, you'll see the text copy right there on the front page of voiceofvision.org, like today's post, Feeding the Monster. And you'll see usually pictures there, like we have a picture of the Cookie Monster there with this one. If you miss any of these, you can go and hit sermons there, and you can use the filter to hit sermons or these radio programs. But if you want to see the text copy, on the top there, you'll see Daily Blog. That's a weblog, a journal, and it has all these articles, the text of them, the main part of it, right there at voiceofvision.blogspot.com. But you just hit that button, Daily Blog, and you'll go there, and you can leave comments there. You can always email me, PastorJD@voiceofvision.org, and we have many people that do that. I don't always get to all the emails very quickly, but I try to answer everyone, and I thank you for that and for sending those in. Of course, we have our live weekly show on our local station here in Citrus County from 7 to 9 on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And you can hit that, WEKJFM.com, and live stream there. And, of course, Sermon Audio has all of these sermons that we do and all of the Voice of Vision radio programs right there. And we have a daily podcast right there on the front page of our Sermon Audio. And there's buttons everywhere that lead you to that. You can see podcast, and you can hit Microsoft Zune or iTunes or XML and all of that. So it's very interactive there. And again, you can email me, and there's plenty of things to do on the voiceofvision.org site. And we're real happy with that. So let us know how we can better serve you with that, and prayer requests and all that. And you know, we really try to help out. All right, speaking of helping out, I have got some issues that I want to talk about today. And again, we're calling our post Feeding the Monster. Feeding the Monster. I'm reminded of Mark 2:27 when Jesus said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath." And what I'm getting at is that we build these organizations, whether it's churches or governments, where we wind up servicing the organization rather than the organization serving us. Now, I believe in ministry development, and I believe in good, solid organizations and all of that, and I understand cooperative programs and things like that, and unity in those endeavors. Those are wonderful things. I'm not saying those things are bad at all. Of course not. But sometimes we do programs and government or church, civil or secular, sacred, however you want to look at it, and we wind up just creating more employees of that than really that really helping us. So I'm going to give you some thoughts about institutions, both civil and church, in light of our fallen humanity and its attendant depravity. Because, you know, when sometimes we build these, they have these movements and they turn into monuments, you know. We have these ideals and they become idols. And we want to help people out, but we don't realize some of the things that we're doing. And my thoughts would be that to help those in need, certainly. Help everyone become needy, certainly not. Let me give you a little saying here that I'm sure that you've heard, and I want you to think about this. From each according to his ability. To each according to his need. From each, that sounds good, doesn't it? From each according to his ability. Give what you can, do your best and all that. To each according to his need. The people that need, you know, they should get and all that. Well, that doesn't work in a perfect world. I mean, it only works in a perfect world and we don't have one. And again, that's not a Christian ideology. Friends, that is Karl Marx. That's Marxism. Because, you know, you can try to say, well, if it was utopia, if this would happen and all that, but it's not, friend. And I'm not trying to say, you know, that humanity is utterly depraved, but we are totally depraved. We don't seek God, and when we don't seek God and put him at the center, then humanism does not work, folks. It does not work. We might think that it does, but we can't educate ourselves. We can't inform ourselves. We can't be pious in ourselves. Man left to his own cannot climb his way out of his own heart. And what happens is that needs are created that didn't exist before, as slackers subsist on the welfare of others, while the truly needy are stuck in a queue somewhere. I remember Margaret Thatcher, she said, the reason socialism doesn't work is because eventually the money runs out. Everybody else's money runs out. And you've seen it before, and you've seen it before. When they get too many people on the wagon, there's no one left to push. And I'm not just getting off on a Christian right kind of thing and all that. I'm saying that, biblically speaking, even, we see, because of the depravity of man and all that, and we see the way that the Israelite governmental system was set up, and we see that, you know, that we're supposed to help people. There's no question about that. And social justice and all that, I understand these things. I don't want to use them as code words. I'm trying to say Jesus has us to help the poor. But of course, he also said the poor you always have with you. There is an idea of proportion here. And the ideals are about godliness, not about spreading the wealth in such a way that we make ourselves feel good about ourselves. And again, it just doesn't work. From each according to his ability, to each according to his need, is not a Christian ideology. It's Marxism. What I said before, what happens is that needs are created that didn't exist before, as slackers subsist on the welfare of others, while the truly needy are stuck in a queue somewhere. Should we be helping those that really need it? Absolutely. I believe that, and so do you, and I think everybody does. But what happens is that some people take advantage of the system and it makes it bad for everyone else. So we can't just implement the system and hope that people are going to get better. They won't. What happens is that abilities are marginalized, not motivated. When you do this, you're taking the initiative out of it all for everybody. Again, what happens is that abilities are marginalized, not motivated, as people have no reason to do more or their best. There's no reason to push when everyone else is on the wagon. And you say, well, they ought to do it just because it's the right thing to do. You know, Paul gave motivations in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and he gave several of them. I did a whole sermon called Crown Him with Many Crowns, and our aim is to please him. Several sermons about this, and Paul needed motivation. Now, Jesus is his motivation, but there are also temporal things about Jesus and about looking for the kingdom of God. You know, we have our saying here at Voice of Vision, living for today with an eye for tomorrow. And that means living for today by having an eye for tomorrow. There's an eye on the prize, as it were. But again, when incentive is taken away, productivity falls and creativity dies. Abilities are marginalized. They're not motivated, you know, from each according to his ability. Why do any more? That's human nature. And you can try to be pious all you want to, but not everybody's going to be pious with you. We have to face reality here. Talk about reality, I'm telling you. Whether you're a Christian or not, you can see that. People have no reason to do more or their best. There's no reason to push when everyone is on the wagon. When the incentive is taken away, productivity falls and creativity dies because there's no reason for it. There's no reason to do extra when good enough gets the same results and poor is equally awarded. Poor performance equally awarded. It's not only that doing more doesn't gain anything, it's that doing less gets the same as doing more or doing nothing. Think about that now. See, that's what happens here. That's some of the systems that are set up are like that. And I know I sound like I'm just talking about politics, but hold on. I'm also talking about the church. It's not that only doing more doesn't gain anything. It's that doing less gets the same thing as doing more or doing nothing. In a fallen world, there will always be people who will invest only as much of themselves as is necessary to get the required benefit. We see it in church all the time. That's what we do with God, isn't it? We put God on sort of a performance rider. God, if I do this, then you'll do that. Or we'll give all out for God for a while. But if it doesn't work, then it's just easy to hedge. We're all sinful like that. I am included in that. We've got to remind ourselves and motivate ourselves. Oh, sure, there's periods when we're, you know, really good-hearted and pious, and we really mean it, and it's going good. And even when there's no, you know, cattle on the hill and horse in the stall and grapes on the vine and all of that, like it says in, you know, our theme song at the beginning there in Habakkuk, I will rejoice in the Lord, I will be joyful in God my Savior. And if you heard the rest of that song, you'd know he goes into that. And And we can be fruitful even when everything doesn't seem like it is. But that's not all the time, and that's not everybody. We see it in church all the time because people haven't matured yet. And so, what happens? What's the title again of this message? Feeding the Monster. Government can get so big, so intrusive, and so pervasive that it becomes a necessity beyond what it's intended to do. And we've got to continue to feed it because it's feeding everybody else. We're all now serving the government. We got to continue to feed it, keep it going, make it bigger, because more are now so connected that if we fail to feed it, everyone else dies. That's when the state becomes the instrument of creative catastrophe. The government is supposed to be an instrument to service the people, but the people become an instrument to service the government. And we don't want that, do we? We don't want everybody on the dole. This collective thing is not all that it's cracked up to be, and it's certainly not a Christian ideal, but we see that it is the same with a church. The church gets so big and so bloated with programs and all of these other things that while the church is supposed to be an instrument to service the people become an instrument to service the church. Again, the government's supposed to be an instrument to service the people, but the people become an instrument to service the government, and it's the same with church. The church is supposed to be an instrument to service the people, but the people become an instrument to service the church. We got to feed the mega monster in order to keep her alive. What happens? Now, again, I'm not getting on all the mega churches. John Piper's got a good church. John MacArthur's got a church. I'm sure R.C. Sproul's church is pretty good. Alistair Begg's a great preacher and a great man of God, and his church is big. There's that. I understand that. But when we get so big, and our aim is to be big, and more people, make your church bigger and all that, we've got to feed the mega monster in order to keep her alive. And now, I've said a saying I have that a lot of people have adopted. You don't have to be a prophet to watch the grass grow. Your children are hanging out. You know, bad company corrupts good morals. They're hanging out with wrong people. You know what's going to happen. We all do, right? Happened to us. It happens to our children, our grandchildren. It's the same old, same old. Well, we see what happens in the church when this happens, doesn't it? We know what's going to happen. That is when the church becomes the instrument of compromise. Now we have to do everything so as not to offend anybody. We have to bring all the world's goodies in because that's what the people want. We have to service the people, but we're doing it in the wrong way. We're servicing them with worldly enticements and not on the Word of God. What have we done in our desire to, well, we think, minister to other people and bring people into the kingdom of God? We've brought the kingdom of the world in. We've created a monster. And now the church becomes the instrument of compromise. The message has to get watered down. Well, no one understands this deep biblical preaching. Just have one point. Don't go so long. 20 minutes. Oh, men won't stay. Go 10 minutes. You got to make sure you give people gifts. You got to preach to felt needs. And some of all that can be okay. But again, it gets so big, it becomes a monster, and then you got to feed the monster. The church becomes an instrument of compromise because the people became an instrument to service the church. Well, friends, that's all the time we have today for the Voice of Vision broadcast. I hope you think about this one, listen to it again, email it to somebody. You can email me, PastorJD@voiceofvision.org, and we'll see you next time on the Voice of Vision broadcast. God bless you.
See you next time on the Voice of Vision broadcast, where we are living for today with an eye for tomorrow.
And reveling with God eternally.